Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Somebody say peace. Somebody say favor. Now before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and ask him, "Did you hear that?" You may be seated. That is the sound of Christmas. The sound of Christmas is not a song. The sound of Christmas is not a favorite movie that you hear during the holiday season. It's not a Hallmark movie. I told Mandy last night, she was watching a Hallmark movie, I said, have they ever had, it's the same story over and over, I said, have they ever had a small town girl go to the big city to find love? Why is it always they're going to the small? She said, I don't think they ever have. I said, man, there's a $1 million idea. So if you take that and run with it, just remember 10% goes to God and 15% goes to me because I gave you the idea. Actually, you know what? I'll give you a Christmas deal. If 10% is good enough for God, it's good enough for me on that project. But it's not a Hallmark movie. It's not a song. It's not all the things that we hear, maybe relatives' voices. But the sound of Christmas came when a little baby's cry first broke through and pierced that night in Bethlehem. When we look at Christmas, we see Jesus in a manger. But you're in a Bible-believing, full gospel, spirit-filled church this morning. And we celebrate the fact that Jesus came to us, but man, we get wild when we talk about the baby Jesus grow up to be God in the flesh. Praise God. He died for us and rose again for us. It's called resurrection. So at the sound of Christmas with the birth of Jesus in his cry, this was the first time that God had made a sound in over 400 years. From the end of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, and Luke chapter 2, this is the first time that someone has heard from God. Those 400 years between Malachi and Luke are known as the silent years. I am glad and grateful for many things, but one of the things I'm grateful for this Christmas is that I was not born in the silent time of God, but I am born in a time when God speaks loud and clear. If you have an ear, Revelation says, you will hear what God's Spirit is saying to us, the church. And so I want to encourage you today, if you've come for a word, I believe that God is going to give you a word. If you were here 1 week ago today, at the end of the service, the Holy Spirit flooded this room and people begin to hear the sound of God's voice as he was giving us direction. And we declare 13 days of open heaven so we can hear God like never before. And we've got 6 days left, and I believe that God will give you kingdom strategies and that God will give you phrases that will alter the rest of your life if you will hear the sound that God is making. And so after 400 years, Babylonian captivity has fallen by the wayside. The Persian Empire was in full swing when God went silent. But when Jesus appears on the scene, the Persians are no longer in control. The Greeks have had their time, and now the Romans rule the world. Just like then, we are now hungry for a sound and for God to make to give us a word. When the cry of baby Jesus gave us the new sound, it was introduced to the world. Something was happening that had never happened before. Can I just pause right here and tell you, when God speaks in your life, church, something can happen that has never happened to you before. When God begins to speak into your life through his Holy Spirit, things begin to turn in your life like never before. This sound of Christmas sounded like a baby's cry, but really it was the voice of God. The sound had a domino effect on everyone who heard it or heard someone who heard it. Let that last phrase sink in. None of the people in this room today or that are watching online today, none of us were there to hear the sound of baby Jesus. None of us clambered around the manger. None of us had brought gifts. No one here today was there. But the reason we are here today is because someone heard the sound and told someone else they heard the sound and told someone else they saw something that was life-changing. The reason you and I sit here today is 47 years ago, our founding pastors heard a sound. And when they heard a sound, they didn't keep it to themselves. They told the world. They came to San Antonio not knowing anybody. And here we sit today because someone heard a sound. And when we heard the sound, we begin to share it with others. We weren't there, but just like those of you that moved to Texas, you might not have been born here, but you got here as quick as you could. This might not be your first church. You didn't start your membership here, but you got to Living Way as quick as you could. And I'm here to tell you, I wasn't at the manger, but I got to the cross as quick as I could. Someone else heard it, and they told us, and they did not keep it to themselves. But for the next 13 minutes, I want to zone in on three things that happened when the sound of Jesus, the sound of Christmas, happened in Bethlehem. Number one, the sound of Christmas prophecy was fulfilled. How many of you believe in prophecy? Raise your hand. Now, when I say prophecy, I'm not talking about a TBN preacher that is telling everyone to give $1,000. I'm talking about seeing what God sees, saying what God says. I'm talking about a prophetic word in the Word that's coming straight to you and your family and your situation, or that God's Spirit begins to prophesy, or there is a man or woman of God that can be trusted. Let me say that again. A man or woman of God that can be trusted, that you allow to speak into your life, and when they say, God told me this about you, you can confirm that with what God has been leading you to and what God has been doing in your life. But in this case, when Jesus shows up, Jesus fulfills somewhere between 300 and 456 prophecies that are found in the Old Testament. So the sound of Christmas is prophecy fulfilled, which means this: the sound of Christmas, church, means that everything that Jesus was said about Jesus has been fulfilled, meaning this. Who was saying this about Jesus? Isaiah said it. Jeremiah said it. All of the prophets said it. But where did that come from? It came from God the Father. So the sound of Christmas fulfilled everything that was said about Jesus, meaning this, that the sound of Christmas proves that we can trust the Word of God. You can trust the Word of God. When God tells you, you can take it to the bank. When God gives you a word about your family, you can stand on that word. When God gives you a word about your future, you can stand on that word. When God gives you a word about what you're going through, you can stand on that word. Why? Because when Jesus was born, he proved to us the 456 things that God the Father spoke about the Son through men thousands of years before. Jesus shows up, and for him to fill 6, 8, 10 of those would have been a miracle. But the fact that he fulfilled 456 tells us that God's word is true, that God's word can be proven. And listen, there is nothing too big for God, because God can give you one prophecy or 456, and he's going to stand by his word. The number two thing that the birth of Christ gives us in the sound of Christmas is promises manifested. Manifesting is getting a bad rap in church, because too many people think that just saying that they want it is going to produce it. If saying what I wanted was going to produce results in my life, I would be 165 pounds. Saying it doesn't change anything. Obedience has to follow the word that you say out of your mouth. Disciplined disciples of Christ, disciplined followers and believers of Christ, have to walk in obedience as it relates to the promise of God. So when God says, this is what I'm going to do, there is always a correlation with, this is what I need you to do. But when Jesus is born, promise is manifested. This is God's way of saying, I am going to do everything that I need to do And then it's going to be up to you to have faith, to walk in obedience, to have trust, and to make a move. Remember, God does not do the possible, God does the impossible. And God does the impossible so that all that is left for us to do is what we can do. So the sound of Christmas fulfilled everything that God said about you. When prophecy was fulfilled, it proved that everything that was said about Jesus came true. When promises are manifested, it means everything that is said about you, about us, about me is true and fulfilled. There are 8,810 promises in the Bible. 7,487 of those promises are from God to humankind. That tells me I need to get my faith a little bigger, church. Because there's two or three promises I love to declare, and God's saying, yeah, I like those three promises too, but Brandon, there's 7,484 more promises that you could be declaring, that you could be standing on, that you could be walking out, walking into. I am here to tell you, the sound of a baby in a manger, it was proof that God came to us, making the impossible things done, taking every excuse out of our life, and if you want it, God said, you can have it. If I said it, you can have it. And I'm here to tell you, when the baby cries, I understand that that baby is going to grow up and that baby is going to bleed for me so that the promises of God are yes and amen. The sound of Christmas proved that we can trust his word about us. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? A rhetorical question. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? When God was speaking about his son Jesus, those prophecies were fulfilled. When God was speaking about humankind, that is us, those promises are manifested. Everyone else gets annoyed hearing about Jesus. I don't get annoyed hearing about Jesus. People will fight tooth and nail to have the Ten Commandments taken off the wall and to have nativity scenes removed from the courthouses, but I'm here to tell you, every time I hear the name of Jesus, every time I see a nativity scene or a cross, I am reminded of the fact that when I could not get to Jesus, Jesus came to me. When we could not get the job done, God came and said, I will do my part and I will make sure that the promises are yes and amen. And in closing, number three, the sound of Christmas secured the future God created for you. In the business world, it started out as slang for the culture, but in the business world, the phrase secure the bag has taken off. Making sure that you finish the deal, complete the assignment, and get what is coming to you. We had no future, church, without Jesus. We had no eternal future without Christ. We have no physical future, the next 40, 50, 60, 70 years without Christ. It is meaningless. And we've all seen men and women give their life to become famous, give their life to become multimillion or billionaires. But at the end of the day, their future is not secured. And while they were securing the bag, they did not secure their future. And what a shame that would be, because the future that God has given us is easy to receive. All you have to do is repent of who you are and what you've done and accept the completed work of Calvary, and your future is secured. So when baby Jesus shows up, I know a lot of them don't understand, but retrospectively looking back, when Jesus shows up, I know that he was born in a manger, but he's headed to the cross. And I know when he gets to the cross, my future is secure. My future is secure. Crying baby, annoying to some, savior to me. Christmas Jesus bring them out of storage for a month of the year and put them back in. But he's an everyday centerpiece of my life. And the reason why I don't have the nativity scene up all year long is I'm celebrating his baby for a few, his birth as a baby for a few days. But the God I serve, he's not on a cross somewhere. He is not a statue somewhere. He is a living God. He is more alive today than he has ever been. And with that cry in Bethlehem proved his birth. The sound of Christmas secured the future that God created for you. Our now and our next were in jeopardy until Jesus came. Redemption is now. Resurrection is next. They were made possible because of the sound of Christmas. Paul would write in the first verse, a first chapter of Philippians, verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Meaning this, he did not stay a baby, he completed the work. And since he completed the work, he's going to complete your purpose. He's going to complete the plan in your life. I want to encourage somebody today, don't Google and ogle over a baby in a manger. Remember, that baby was sent here with a plan and a purpose, and he secured and finished that purpose so you and I could stand here, not in all of the unrighteousness that we were, but because we are now the righteousness of God. Hebrews 12:2 calls Jesus the author and the finisher of our faith. Revelation 22:13 calls Jesus the Alpha and Omega. Jesus knows how to grow into and fulfill his creative purpose. That's what Jesus did for 33 years, standing on your feet all over the room today. For 33 years, Jesus, he grew. The Bible uses terminology like this, that he waxed strong with men and with God, meaning this, he matured. Jesus on this earth, because God was put into a physical body, he matured, he grew. I know there's cute stories about Jesus working miracles as a child. The Bible doesn't tell us he did that. He was growing up. Before he ever worked a miracle, the Bible does tell us, though, that he was brilliant with his theology, because he, at 12 years old, was perplexing the most intelligent men of his day in the temples, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the lawyers. He was asking them questions. He was stumping them with his knowledge. But the miraculous part of God happens when his mother at a wedding at Cana says, now it's time. You know the word. You are the word. But now let's see the miraculous. I say that to say this. Some of us are new in Christ. I just want to encourage you, keep growing, keep going. Plant yourself and you're going to see fruit. Some of us want the apple pie, but when God hands us an apple seed, we get mad. Sometimes you're going to have to plant that apple seed. You're going to have to work that apple seed. You're going to have to prune that tree. You're going to have to grow and protect that thing. I spent some time this week protecting all the plants that I planted this year, and drought has come, and now a hard freeze has come, but I'm taking care of that. Why? Because one day I'm going to sit under the shade of those trees. One day my grandchildren will swing on the branches of those trees, but I'm willing to put in the time. If Jesus put in 33 years, 30 years before he started his ministry, then let me encourage you, slow your roll. Grow, don't grow fast, grow strong. Grow strong. Bishops always told me there's a difference between growth and swelling. Swelling happens overnight, but swelling is due to infection. And as quick as swelling comes up, swelling can go down. But growth, strong growth, takes time. It's the correct growth. I've seen churches go from 0 to 5,000 in 3 months. Only for 3 years later, see them go from 5,000 to 150 in 2 months. They grew too quick. I love what God showed me. Jesus was born a baby, but he didn't stay a baby. He was a baby in the manger, and then he grew up to be the lamb on the cross. But now, church, he's the lion on the throne. Let me say it again. Baby in the manger, to a lamb on the cross, to a lion on the throne. What the shepherds heard that day is different from what we hear today. The sound of Christmas to them is very different than the sound of Christmas for us, because for the shepherds, they heard the cry of the baby. For the disciples, they heard the silence of the lamb. But for us, we hear the roar of the lion. That's why when I see a nativity scene, I don't say, oh, how cute. I say, that's a lion. I've never seen Lion King, but I do know that they lifted up that lion as king, and that one day he was going to find his roar. And I'm here to tell you, the baby in the manger that was cuddly in Bethlehem is not that way anymore. He sits on a throne, and when he opens his mouth, the Bible says he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is roaring today. So I believe on Christmas you can get your roar back. I believe we can mature today. Maybe we don't get all the way to the throne, but maybe we get out of the manger today. Maybe like Paul, we can say, when I was a child, I thought, understood reason as a child. But when I became a man and adult, I put away childish things. Maybe it's time to let some things go in 2022. Maybe it's time to quit throwing a hissy fit. Maybe it's time to quit pouting. Maybe it's time to quit throwing holy tantrums and say, God, I want to grow. I want to grow this year. Lord, I know you came as a baby, but then you grew. I'm ready to grow. And Janice has broken the ice for everyone in the room today. And I am right on time. But if you are in this room today, on Christmas Sunday, there's no greater moment than to say, I hear a sound. This sound's going to help me grow. This sound's going to take me from baby to man, from baby to woman. This is going to take me, come on, church, from victim to victor. This is going to take me from sick to well, ignorant to wise, blind to vision. Lord, I thank you that you came to us, but I'm so grateful that you rose from the dead and are living within us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm grateful that on Sunday morning, God, this altar is beginning to fill up with people that are here to say on Christmas morning, God, I got out of bed. God, my family wanted me to stay. God, plans are on hold. God, schedules have been rearranged. But God, I'm so glad I did, because I hear a sound in this altar that I haven't heard before. I've heard a sound, God, in my spirit that God is new to me. But that sound, God, it's challenged me to step out, to step up, to say yes to Jesus. For those of you that are watching online, for my friends that have laughed at me for having service on Christmas, if you're watching at home, I wish they would just pan this altar. This is why we had church today. We at church today because people need and want more of Jesus. We at church today because God deserves our best on his day. And I believe in this altar today that a sound is happening that is going to transform your life. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to go ahead and start praying. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to go ahead and start laying hands on people, encouraging them. I'm going to join you here in just a minute, but I want to share this quick testimony. 47 years ago on the first Christmas in Living Waves history, Mom and Dad, they're not from here. Mom's from Louisiana, Dad's from the Midwest. They didn't split a church. This is not from a church split. They didn't know anybody when they came to San Antonio. That first service, they had six adults in their living room. First Christmas, no one showed up. Mom played the organ and sang. Dad stood on the front row. When she was done leading worship, they flip-flopped. She sat down in the front row, and Dad preached to Mom, just them two. But halfway through his sermon, a woman came through the back doors of that little building. And she sat there for the last half of Bishop's sermon. And when he opened up the altar call, you think it's hard to have an altar call? How about when there's only one? Because at that point, Pastor Becky's back up on the organ. He's got the microphone and he's preaching to one. She got out of her seat, came to the front of that rat-infested building, and gave her life to Jesus Christ. If Jesus would leave the 99 for the one, I'll have Christmas Sunday service for the rest of my life for the one, or in this case, the 30 or 40 that have joined us in this altar today. If you are in this house and you've never said yes to Jesus, 2 weeks ago, 124 yeses packed this altar. 124 said yes to Jesus. If you've never said yes, this is your moment. If you'd like to be baptized in water, what a special day on Christmas it would be.